Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. The words I would like to share with you very simply are the first portion of the gospel reading today from Mark chapter 6 in the 7th verse. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent your 12 disciples upon that mission journey, we give you thanks this day and pause to give praise to you for the journey that you have laid out for us, the path that you have set for us. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to see and to realize the opportunities you give us each day to be your witnesses to every life, to every person we encounter. Bless our journey and help us, O Lord, to accept the path that you've laid out for us, trusting that it is best for us. Lord, now open our hearts to hear your word. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed vacation time. A time to relax, to let yourself go, forget all your cares and worries, to let the whiskers grow and not shave for a while. Vacation time. The packing goes smoothly because everybody has planned ahead in the house and all the clothes that they need are clean and folded. Loading the car is a breeze because by now everyone knows exactly how I like to have it done and we get it done efficiently. All of the details have been attended to. The pet care, stopping the mail, running to the bank, and we set down the road in a car that is filled with smiles and pleasantries all around. That is, of course, in my dreams. Because in the real world, it never goes that smooth. Inevitably, the night before, or even moments before everyone was supposed to leave, everyone is trying to pack their bags, and you hear things coming from the bedrooms upstairs like, I don't have any clean socks, and where's my shorts, and I can't fit all of this stuff into these puny suitcases of ours. Why can't we get some decent suitcases? And where are my swimming shorts? And then when it's time to go, of course, nobody is ready to go. And I'm talking sometimes, we are 3 and 4 minutes late. It's inexcusable. I don't know, am I part of the problem? I don't think so. But tensions mount, and someone is still having that, you know, that sweater versus sweatshirt debate. You know, how many do we take? How heavy? Where are they going to fit in? And why are we even talking about sweaters and sweatshirts in July? Toiletry spillage, zipper breakage. Irma Bombeck said, a vacation is like love. Anticipated with pleasure, experienced with discomfort, and remembered with nostalgia. I wonder what these disciples thought when Jesus told them that they were going to go on a trip. Calling the 12 to him, Jesus sent them out. Now, of course, the one who was organizing this journey, who was making the arrangements for the journey, knows a thing or two about traveling in this world because he himself had set out on the ultimate journey when he came down out of heaven from God to be born of a virgin. And almost immediately upon arriving in this world, he was already on the road, on his way to Egypt, fleeing Herod. And then, of course, he had to make the return trip shortly after that as the family traveled back to Nazareth again. And then during his 3 years of public ministry, he must have logged more frequent walker miles than anybody on the face of the earth on a trip that finally landed him in Jerusalem and on a hill just outside the walls of the city. This had been his destination all along. This had been the purpose of his coming. Not to amass as much wealth as he could in this world, although he owns everything. Not to consolidate political power to himself, although he is the King of Kings. And not to win the acclaim and the fame of this world, although he is a giant among men. But his destination had always been this sad scene on Calvary of his own innocent suffering and death. The book of Hebrews says, "Therefore, when Christ came into this world, he said to his Father, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me.'" These were the travel arrangements for the Son of God as he prepared to leave the glory of his eternal kingdom. He would come to this world clothed in human flesh, so that in his body he could finally make that once-for-all sacrifice for all the sins of all mankind, of all times and places. God no longer desired the sacrifice of lambs and goats and the altar. A billion sacrifices like that per person would not be enough to wipe away the guilt of sin. So the Father made the arrangements for his Son and prepared a body for him, so that in that body he could take our place as one of us and bear our sins and crucify them forever. This is the one who is organizing the journey of our lives, who's making the arrangements for us, in whose perfect and saving love we can trust completely that the road he has laid out for us is the best. Now, of course, the disciples, at the time we are reading the text of Mark here, they didn't understand all of this. So like everyone else who prepares to go on a trip, they may well have grumbled about a few things. You can well imagine that. Jesus says, "I'm going to send you out." And they say, "Oh, great, here we go. We got to pack our suitcases, got to get over to Hertz, rent a donkey so we can carry all this stuff. Then we got to get over to the bank and get some of those Israeli Express travelers' checks. Then it's over to the Triple Alpha office so we can pick up the maps and plan everything. And then we got to make all of our reservations at the inns," and on it goes. And oh, brother, we got to travel. But before they can even begin to grumble about having to prepare for this trip, Jesus lays out his plans for this journey. A set of traveling instructions that anticipates everything that we normally think about when we travel. A set of traveling instructions that teaches us so much about how best to make our way through this life and through this world. First of all, he says to his disciples, "Go two by two." You are not supposed to go on this journey through this world alone. That's not what Christ wants for you. I don't want you to travel this journey alone. But as disciples of mine, you are going to need each other. You will need to lean on each other and pray for each other and with each other. You will need to encourage each other and worship with each other and rebuke and admonish each other and laugh and cry with each other and work with each other and uphold each other in the faith. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. And each of you is called to be part of the fellowship, the body of Christ. Because sometimes the road is going to get really rough, and the traveling is going to become grueling and discouraging. And it will be easy for us to be drawn off course by the cheesy attractions of this world and of its things. But when you're traveling with someone who has the same destination in mind, when you're traveling in the fellowship of another Christian, you've got someone to help you stay the course, to help you keep your mind focused upon your destination, that you might be faithful unto death and at last arrive at that destination where you will be crowned with eternal life. We read in the book of Hebrews, "Encourage each other daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as we see the day approaching." These are the arrangements that Christ has made for you, that you not travel alone on this journey, but that you travel in the fellowship of your brothers and sisters in Christ. The second arrangement Christ has made for us in this text, he says, pack light. Pack light. He says in verses 8 and 10, these are the instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Now in our family, we definitely have different ideas about what it means to pack light. I, for one, would ask, do we really have to pack a set of dumbbells to go on vacation? I mean, how can you pack light if you're packing weights? All right? Or do we really have to take all those hair care products, you know? Perhaps so. But I know this. In this life, Christ has instructed us to pack light. And that is not to ignore the importance of our daily needs, but rather it is to teach us to rely upon the Lord's provisions for this life and not to pursue the things of this world as though they are of first importance. It's really the same lesson that Christ taught us in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, when He said, "So do not worry, or say to yourselves, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added, will be given to you as well." To pack light does not mean that you're not supposed to have anything in this world, but it does mean that you're supposed to loosen your grip on the things of this world, and at the same time, to grasp more and more firmly the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, which is in Christ our Savior, and the eternal riches of His grace. If you weigh yourself down with too much of this world's stuff, you're only going to hinder your journey, and perhaps even to the point of losing your way altogether. Because as Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. And so the arrangements that Christ has made for you for this journey, travel light. And then the third instruction is really a mindset. He says, don't be surprised at the unexpected twists and turns in the road. He sends them out and he says in verse 10, whenever you enter a house and stay there until you leave that town, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Don't be afraid of a little serendipity in your life, a few unexpected curves in the road, a detour here and there, a coincidental encounter once in a while, or an unplanned extension of your stay. God delights to guide you in all your ways, and that includes taking you to places you never would have planned to go or thought you would go. But the beauty is that when it appears to us that life is taking an unexpected twist, that this is actually the road He has marked out for us, and it is part of Christ's plan to touch the lives of other people through you. In Acts chapter 16, for example, the Apostle Paul was making plans to travel to Bithynia to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Spirit wouldn't allow him to go, it says. Now, the text does not say to us how the Spirit prevented him from going to Bithynia. It may have been something as simple as a bridge that had been washed out. But anyway, Paul decides to go a different way, all of which must have seemed like fluky occurrences to him, until that is, Christ appeared to Paul in a dream and gave him specific instructions not to go to Bithynia, but now to go to Macedonia instead. And Paul learned that all of those detours and all of those unexpected twists and turns were really the Lord's directing and guiding as He was leading Paul to a new place where his witness would be the most powerful and the most effective. In the same way, these 12 disciples didn't plan out their every step. They just went, and they approached the town, and they went in, and they trusted that the Lord had brought them to this place for the purpose of witnessing to Him and touching people's lives. In some towns, the people would receive the gospel with thanksgiving. Praise be to God! But in other towns, the people would refuse the gospel and would not repent. Does that mean the journey was a failure? Not at all. Because God's word always accomplishes its purpose. And sometimes that means that it leaves people without an excuse as a testimony against them in the day of judgment. But in every case, God sends and leads his people to maximize their witness. And so the way that we prepare for this journey is to remind ourselves again and again that nothing happens by chance. The detours and the twists and turns of the road, those aren't just chance occurrences. Not when God is directing your path. All right, so you discover on the next bend, around the next bend on your road, that you have cancer or some other disease or sickness. Maybe God is maximizing your witness to him by setting it against the backdrop of a severe trial. Faith that is easy is not much of a witness, but faith that holds up under a severe trial is a powerful witness to this world. And maybe God is trying to maximize your witness. Or maybe the road has some unexpected twists and turns ahead for you. A financial setback, the loss of a loved one, the breaking of relationships, injuries sustained in an accident. In each case, it appears that God is preventing you from going where you wanted to go, but he is also opening up a new door for you, a new path, which if you will just follow it trustingly, can only lead to better things for you and can only improve your witness to Christ. So how do you prepare for this journey? First, remember that the one who made the arrangements for this journey is himself an expert traveler. Because he himself took the greatest journey of all when he came into this world in our flesh to redeem us. So you can trust the arrangements he makes for you. Don't travel alone on this journey. You need each other in this often difficult world to uphold and strengthen and encourage each other. Pack light. Avoid being overly attached to this world and underly attached to the kingdom of God. And don't be surprised and upset if the Lord leads you on a way that you were not planning. Because wherever that path takes you, he has got a purpose. A part of which will always be to maximize your witness. So happy traveling to you. And if I don't see you again on this road, I don't know why I wouldn't, but you never know. If I don't see you again along this road, well, friend, every path of the Christian, paved by the blood of Christ, leads to the same destination, doesn't it? So if not here, we'll see you in the Father's house. Happy trails. In Jesus. Amen.